November 19th, 2005. You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry, Episode 12.
This is going to be a f***ing disaster.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Mulberry. Another week, episode 12. It's the 12th week in a row, Steven, that we've done the show.
Awesome. Great times.
Welcome to Mulberry, Steven.
Great times.
Hey!
Yeah, it's a good thing.
It's a good thing. It's a great thing.
Welcome here, Steven. It's nice. You didn't have to be in another state this week, so that's a good thing.
I'm actually in town again.
It's a great thing.
It's a great thing I'm here.
Now, we also have here from his zombie-fortified post-apocalyptic library is Mulberry Bill. Now, Bill, I recently on the news, I saw that there's been some kind of incident on that side of Mulberry. It's like the dead are coming back to life. Has it gotten serious over there? Bill, have you been bitten recently?
I think Bill's still sleeping.
Yeah.
That's a great thing.
No, yes, there is a bit of a problem over here. I've had to lock myself in. I haven't been out in a week and a half. The people are returning to life from the dead, and they're very hungry for brains.
Now, has anyone been hurt that you know? Any of your neighbors? Are they okay?
I really don't care. I'm all about myself.
I hear gunshots
my own
in the
safety.
Background. Are you picking off zombies as you're talking right now?
Yeah, I have my Glock 17. And I am shooting them in the head. I have a couple tied up upside down with targets on them.
Nice. And I think one's getting in behind you. How would I know?
Okay, he's done.
But we're doing our 12th episode of Nowhere in Mulberry. And I every time I do the show, I'm like, why do I emphasize what episode it is so much? I think I'm just shocked. Dude, we've kept this up for this many weeks in a row, and I'm proud of that. Now, guys, we did get another voicemail. How exciting is that?
Right on.
Let me guess. It could be.
It's one of three people.
I would say Andy.
You're right.
All
right.
Now, see, David Jen did it last week.
Like, you guys know who Andy is, right? He is the host of the Hollywood Saloon. He does a podcast with his friend John, his cohort, where they talk movies, DVDs, things that they're obsessed with, and which is movies and directors. They did a whole show about Star Wars, and it was Star Wars versus Star Wars.
Oh, I need to listen to that.
It was the prequels versus the original trilogy.
Oh, please, there's no contest there.
But it was a good episode. You ought to check it out, Bill.
I will.
You have plenty of time where you're fighting off
zombies. I was watching the original trilogy this past week while, fending for my life.
Yes.
And there's a sense of joy, a suspension of disbelief, even in the dialogue of, let's say, the original, A New Hope, or just called Star Wars, if you want. And I watched episode 3,
retarded.
And it's so stiff.
Yeah.
It is. I couldn't get into it.
And there's just so much, compared to A New Hope or Empire, it's like there's the same, science fiction dialogue, but it just, you believe it, as opposed to the new ones where it's just so the only word I can think of is stiff. It's false.
Yes.
Well, maybe it's because we've changed. When we were kids, I don't know, maybe it's the way we look at movies is different than when we were kids.
I don't know.
No, because the original
trilogy
just still hold up.
I think
that's true.
It really is. What it comes down to is George Lucas was not interested in the acting and the performances. It was in getting his new toys in action.
Yeah, the special effects. I wish he should have just did location shooting. Like, yeah. You know, Tunisia and all that. Didn't he do location in episode one?
Yeah, they went to Tunisia.
I wish he went back to that. I think it benefits actors and it benefits story.
Yeah, it really does. And this is what I'll say about the prequels. I like them. I don't love them. I watch the DVDs for the sound and the sound editing and the music and all that. It's fantastic. There's sequences that are good, but as a whole, it's not, no. It doesn't hold up for me, especially Attack of the Clones with the romance theme. I can't do it anymore, man.
They feel like they're the bastard children of the original trilogy.
You think they tried to overdo the romance part They didn't overdo it.
They underdoed it.
I didn't know if you were going to say they overdid it, in a sense, because they're trying to make Vader seem...
Right. It really is, and I'll tell you this. It's telling us something... We didn't need to know. Now, here's an example. Midichlorians.
You know, it's not that it's telling us things we didn't need to know. It's things that we didn't necessarily want to know. Or, you know, would have been better if George Lucas would have approved a series of novels.
Right.
Because I love the writers.
Do you guys realize what's happened? Our show is turned into the Hollywood Saloon. Andy, this has been this segment dedicated to Andy. Let's listen.
For you, Andy.
Let's listen to Andy's voicemail.
Okay, Nowhere in Mulberry Freaks, this is Andy. And you know what? I have no problem with being called a fan of the podcast, because I am a fan, and I'm proud to be a fan of Nowhere in Mulberry, because it's the best podcast on the entire internet. Okay?
Wow.
I've listened to tons of other podcasts, and you know, I listened to a lot of them at the very beginning. Then I got bored because I figured out that most of these people were just interested in being stoned all the time. I mean, that's all they talk about. So, you know.
Hey, man.
Listen to you guys cracking me up all the time. Every single one of you guys, even Steven with the Predator snort, okay? You need some more Arnold quotes in there, some Arnold drops to fight against the Predator snort.
That's a good idea.
But I would never just call to plug my podcast. www.hollywoodsaloon.com.
Never.
I would never do that. But anyways, love you guys. Jastrom, Steven, Bill, Vanessa, Foggy, you rock. Keep doing what you're doing. And can't wait for the next episode. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andy.
I'm so wasted.
Yeah. That's one thing we will never talk about is pot.
Unless it's a good movie like Half Baked.
Sweet sticky icky right here, man.
Sticky icky.
I know that, dude.
I'm just sitting here.
Hey, bud. Let's party.
This is what I'll say about pot smokers. And hey, I have nothing against people who love pot. It's the people who smoke pot, and that's all they talk about. It's like, it's like, I don't care that you smoke pot. I don't care where you got it. I don't care where you hide it. I don't care how often you smoke it. I don't care if you're high right now. I don't care. I want to take a moment, Steven, to let you take the mic, if you will. And we're going to dedicate the show to your friend David. And I just want you to tell us who David is.
All right.
My friend David Lee. He's a guy I worked with for about 6 years at a local frame shop. He's a local actor, and he's done some, VHS type, straight to VHS release movies. If you can find a Joe Estevez movie, he's in it, called Fatal Justice.
It's a great classic movie,
but he's a good friend of mine, and he just passed away yesterday, and I would like to dedicate the show to him. And
yes.
So Jason has met him.
Yeah, rest in peace, David. He's a good guy. Real good guy.
And we'll miss you. Thanks, Jason.
Vanessa, going on with you this week? I know it's hard to follow.
There's a bring down.
It's a little awkward.
Like Casey Kasem, and now for our next death dedication.
Yeah, I walked into the house here, or to the studio,
And studio in the house.
Jason's asked me, what's wrong? I'm like, hold on, I can't even talk right now. As I just found out, 2 hours before the show.
What had happened?
He had an embolism. A rupture.
Oh my God!
Wow. So
how old was he?
He was in his late 40s, early 50s.
So still pretty young.
Yeah, yeah. So he was, I guess, walking his dog yesterday morning or something.
Hey, Vanessa. After that stuff, what's going on in the box office?
Yeah, because it's so important in life.
Yeah, how do you, enough with the trivial stuff. What's going on at the box office?
I'll tell you the top 10. Number 10 was Pride and Prejudice, coming in at 2.8
with Keira Knightley.
I hear that's really pissing off the Jane Austen
fans. Go ahead.
Because they changed the
Make
ending.
Make my day.
Why do they do that on a classic?
I don't know. Did they change the time period? Is that what happened?
No, they didn't change the time period, but they changed the ending completely, I guess.
Really? Uh-huh. To a Jane Austen novel?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's a great book.
That takes some balls,
it's a really
man.
Good book, so I don't know.
I've seen the two film versions. The
you got to read the
one
book.
From like the 60s or 50s or whatever, and then or maybe it was the 30s. I can't even remember.
I think the first was in the 1940s or 50s somewhere.
Yeah,
around.
She wrote. And I saw the
I thought
one in
that
the...
she was directing movies. I keep seeing Jane Austen movies.
Well, I tell you what, there's about a million Jane Austen movies out there. Give them modern names and change the story around and everything.
Right.
She's probably the most powerful dead writer there is.
Besides L. Ron.
Yeah.
Who keeps coming out with books.
Battlefield Earth was such a success.
Yeah, it was.
Number 9 is Dreamer.
What the hell's that?
With
is that the creepy Dakota Fanning movie?
Yeah, Kurt Russell.
It's you like think she's going to grow up ugly?
Yes.
Is it going to be like a Haley Joel Osment thing where he's such a cute kid and then he grows up and it's like, Jesus Christ.
That's what usually happens. You know?
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel kind of perverted when you see somebody like Kirsten Dunst and she's like, yeah, she's really cute, but wait, she's like a little kid, like, when
Interview with the Vampire.
Yeah. Interview with the Vampire, you knew she was going to grow up kind of hot, but she needed to get them snaggle teeth changed.
Yeah.
But she still has the snaggle teeth.
She's got huge boobs.
Oh, she's got great boobs.
They defy gravity.
There's some great pictures of her where her top came off. Or she was at a beach running in a water, and she had one of those like band bikinis where just, you know, no strings.
And this show is going all over the place.
Her boobs flopped out, and it's like, oh! You can hear the angels singing.
Sorry.
You rock.
All right, the next movie we have is Prime with Meryl Streep and Uma Thurman, you know, where she's dating her
child. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Another great set of boobs. Uma Thurman. Oh.
Yeah.
Again,
then
great paparazzi pictures of her at the top
of
the beach.
I'm a historian of ass.
I'll post all these pictures at my forum.
She was nude in Dangerous Liaison.
You know what? I'll say this about Uma Thurman. She can be gorgeous and then be like, ah!
Oh, yeah, like freight train stopping
she's
ugly.
The old Seinfeld
she's
two-face.
What? Is she 5? What is she? 5'9", 5'10"?
Oh, Billy.
I have no idea her height.
She's 6'5".
She's
yeah, whatever.
No, she's tall. She's got to be like 5'10".
You know, this is what I hate about the Academy Awards. She should win Academy Award. Should have for Kill Bill. I thought she was fantastic. She ran every emotion.
I thought she was terrific in that.
Number 7 is The Legend of Zorro.
All right. Why is that still
that
in theaters?
That should be at like
the
15
movie no
already.
One asked for.
Number 6 is Saw 2 with 9.1 million.
It wasn't bad.
Jarhead comes in at number 5 with 11.7 million. Number 4, Get Rich or Die Trying with 12 million.
Oh, hell yeah.
Derailed is number 3 at 12.2 million.
Oof.
Hello.
Number 2 is Zathura at 13.4 million.
Okay.
Well, that's nice. Good on Jon Favreau.
Anybody want to guess number 1?
Chicken Little.
Chicken Little. Very good. Chicken Little. Ta-da!
That's weird.
You know, Chicken Little and Zathura, I have a feeling if you're going to break into directing or you want to break into, just do a kids movie, man.
Yeah, be like Brad Bird and just come up with a bunch of kids
retarded.
Movie ideas.
Right.
Retarded.
And then people will praise you like you're the greatest thing in the world. Oh, Brad Bird, he's terrific. I love him. Oh!
All right, guys. On that note, let's do entertainment. Now, a movie that has totally been off my radar until this week, and funnily enough that it's commercials, advertising, has shown me what this movie is, and it's called The Ice Harvest. Have you guys seen any commercials?
I've read that book.
It looks really good, I think.
They're making it into a movie?
Yeah, it's got John Cusack.
Oh.
It already is a movie.
It's got John Cusack, Billy Bob Thornton, and...
Man, that's going to be hilarious.
It's got our favorite guy in it, Randy Quaid.
Oh, I'm looking here. No, it's got Oliver Platt in it.
Shit. Wow. God, I think I smell it. Come on, let's go.
Let's check out the trailer to The Ice Harvest.
Ice Harvest, not Shit Harvest.
Ba-rum. This is Charlie Arglis, the most talented mob lawyer in all of Kansas.
Did I mention to you that I really wish you wouldn't do that?
Yeah.
Cause they told me.
I'm going to break his fingers.
As an attorney, I advise you to cease and desist.
I'm almost done.
If you are what you do, and you never do anything, then you know, what are you?
Our finest gifts we bring.
How much?
$2,147,000.
Anybody but a lawyer would consider the consequences.
Does this mean you're rich, Charlie? Because if you are, we could run away together.
It is a thought.
Leaving Wichita? Damn right it's a thought.
I should be home in Kansas City watching my kids open their Christmas presents.
Randy
Quaid!
Now
I gotta wait the whole day looking for that nitwit.
All these movies have mafia ties to
Charlie tonight.
Yeah, they do.
No, you just missed him.
Maybe we should leave now.
In case you haven't noticed, there's a hockey rink out there.
Boy, I didn't realize how slippery that was.
You going somewhere, Mr. Arglis?
No.
The guy you thought might be looking for you? He is.
Just act normal for a few hours and we're home free.
Yo, ho, ho!
It's good to see you!
I want to know, when I use the word normal...
I think I scraped my tummy.
If we're understanding it the same way, don't talk. Hurry up. Oh.
Yeah.
You don't have any bullets for this, Dan. Everybody has regrets.
You're in love with me.
I've always liked you.
Mr. Arglis?
Oh, that had to hurt.
Yeah, I sure did.
If you let me down, it's alright.
Did you, Arglis? Drop the gun.
Ever notice how weird people get this time of year?
Hey! Hey! Yeah.
It's Christmas. Everybody's nice on Christmas.
Only morons are nice at Christmas.
What's that, Roy?
Dave!
Damn, I took his gun. Guess he must have another one.
Must have.
When I get out of here, I'm going to kill you.
Now, Bill, you said you've read the book to this?
Yeah, Scott Phillips' Ice Harvest.
Is it a pretty good book?
Yeah, it's very dark, darkly comic.
Yeah, it looks like that. It looks like it has a lot of comedic stuff in it, but it's serious, too.
Yeah, it's like a dark comic thriller. I wouldn't say it's very serious. It's very tongue-in-cheek with the seriousness, at least in the novel. I don't know if you can tell by the trailer, but is it present or is it past? Because the book takes place Christmas Eve, 1979.
You know what? I don't think I even noticed.
Okay, so they probably updated it to modern.
Yeah, that's what
times.
They do. You know, you make Jane Austen movies. I'm going to make a Jane Austen movie in the future. And there's going to be hoverboards and stuff.
That would be cool.
You got to have Chappie too.
Now,
or is it Chappie?
You guys all know what a huge Paul Walker fan I am.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I've seen all of his movies. I love how he calls everyone bro in his movies. Fast and the Furious and the sequel, Too Fast, Too Furious. No, what the hell?
It's so funny when he says bro.
Hey, bro.
It just sounds so...
Forced? Or
yeah, it's like bro does not normally come out of
that
voice.
Do you think like,
does he
dialogue.
Look at a script and he goes, all right, cross that out. I'm going to write bro there. With
bro,
my,
yeah.
With my crayon.
If it's more than a few syllables.
But he's made a really good new movie, and I haven't seen it. I'm just going to do this based on the trailer. It's called Running Scared. And
oh, I love that movie.
Yeah.
It got. Did they dig Gregory Hines up for it?
I think I think they did, but he...
Did they dig Billy Crystal's career up for it?
Well, I believe the movie, what it is he works for the mob, you guys. He is a mafia.
Not the mob.
He's a mafia hitman.
A mafia princess,
which is a
He partners with Usher?
It's a plot idea that I've never heard of, a mafia hitman, and something goes wrong.
What?
Well, you know, there really is the devil, no mafia. You say.
Anyway, let's check out the clip to Running Scared.
Yeah, Michael McDonald rules.
Foggy.
Foggy?
This is... No. Dude, this is a wrong
Keep
Running
going,
Scared.
Keep going,
Foggy. Is this a new career challenge?
Yeah, something with a future. Show me another career they let you shoot
for. I'm going to kill that guy.
Give us your money.
You're mugging
us? This was a pretty good movie,
You better believe it or you're dead.
It's got
Jimmy
Smits.
Come on, let us keep the driver's licenses and the snapshot.
And our badges.
Foggy, this is the wrong Running Scared. This is the old Running Scared.
What are you talking about?
Running Scared 2005.
I'm the one who made him swerve.
Oh, you made him...
Okay, sorry about that, folks. You know, sometimes things go wrong. Sometimes Foggy doesn't understand anything. Here is the real trailer to Running Scared, starring...
No, just play the Michael McDonald song.
This is starring my bro, Paul Walker.
Bro.
Okay, right.
Apparently they use the song in the new movie, too.
Why does this intro have to be so long?
Because it's good.
Get down on the ground. Go, go, come on. Come on, move.
Holy crap. What the hell's going on?
Joey, get rid of it.
What does he have to get rid of?
The fit is hitting the sheen.
But I run with a very dangerous crew. And it's my job to clean up the messes they make. No questions asked.
All right. Well, Paul Walker.
Go
wash up. Those hands
Paul Walker's scary. Finally using an accent.
The way I figured it. What my family doesn't know won't hurt him.
Hey, man. The champ of the winning.
Where is he from? New York, Boston?
Kennedy.
You take the ride down.
I'm going to find that gun. Because I got the toughest mob in the world.
Chaz Palminteri!
Dude, it's Chaz Palminteri in every mob movie.
If they find it, I'm dead.
Calm down. You can get rid of
hey, bro.
You got something that belongs to me. Snub-nosed 38, you just scored in a card game.
Is he doing a Dragnet impression?
300 cold puts her in mind.
Only the fact...
The gun is on the street. The Russian mob is involved. This whole thing is about to blow up.
Mary, an evil man.
This could quite possibly be the loudest trailer I've ever heard.
When I look in your eyes.
I want my gun!
Green Day, that would be good.
I have never seen evil before tonight. Real evil.
Finish it. Don't you do this, Frankie. Don't you do it.
Oh, no.
Don't do it, Frankie.
Don't do it, bro.
Don't eat that ladder alone.
Foggy, knock it up. We're going to get sued by Michael McDonald's people.
I would rather they use Michael McDonald's song. Don't use Muse. They're a great band. Time is running out. Come on, it's a Paul Walker movie.
Now, I don't... Where is his black partner? Come on, couldn't they have gotten, like, Tyrese in this?
I told you, Usher's in it, which has pulled him.
Yeah, Usher.
They pull him off in the mix, and it like it's in the mix of Running Scared.
Did Chaz Palminteri run on to each set, and he goes, "Can I just wear this suit? I'm playing a mob guy in the other movie."
Yeah, he wears the same suit that he wore for what is that called?
This is Lombardo Custom Apparel.
Oh, like the Dallas Stars.
Yeah, that's
a Bronx Tale. That was the movie. Tale.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, wait, is Chaz Palminteri in the mob?
It's like, you know, it's funny. It's like all the guys in The Sopranos. Everyone thinks they're in the mob.
Yeah, it's like we're actors. Hello.
Whereas, can you say typecast?
You know,
I know.
What, now, moving on.
But he does it to himself.
Hey, guys.
Yeah. Hey!
What's on your TiVo? Every Every week we pretty much talk about the same shows. Every once in a while we talk about others. But we cannot ignore South Park this week.
No.
This week on South Park, they dealt with Scientology.
Oh, yes.
And it's a subject we seem to be obsessed with most recently on the
show.
That's
because it's so incredibly bizarre.
Scientology is for everyone.
Since Steven is into Scientology, were you offended by this episode?
Well, they got a couple of things wrong. some
technicalities.
Things. Some technicalities. I was on the mothership. No,
what I liked about this episode, they really are telling the truth about Scientology.
The Thetans within Steven actually flew the soul catcher.
Now, let's.
They look similar to DC 10s.
Let's hear about what happened on South Park. All right.
Great. So, do you have the $240? Perfect. We're on our way. Come on over here, and I'll fill you in on how the Church of Scientology works. You see, Stan, Scientology was founded by a great man named L. Ron Hubbard. Mr. Hubbard discovered that negative emotions are actually caused by things called body thetans.
Really?
Yes, and being the genius that he was, Mr. Hubbard invented a way to get rid of those bad thetans. This is called an e-meter. It's the main tool of Scientology. You just grab hold of these handles as I talk you through past experiences in your life. I'll be taking readings here, and we'll be able to determine your thetan levels.
Thetan levels.
Come on in the auditing room, and I'll show you how it works.
What I loved about this episode is basically Stan, that's the character's name, right?
Yes.
The Scientologists think he is the reincarnated L. Ron Hubbard, because when he did his e-meter reading, he was OT9, was that what it was, Bill?
Mm-hmm.
And they believe that he's reincarnated.
Because the only other person that was OT9 was L. Ron Hubbard.
Yeah.
Is that the highest you can go or something?
No.
At this point.
There's OT8. Or no, wait. God, I'm an idiot.
That would be under 9.
I was gonna say 13, but for some reason I said 8.
No, but right now, aren't they expanding the OT levels to bring in more money or something?
You paid like this maximum amount to get to the top level, and they're like, no, we're introducing new levels. Start shelling out more money.
You've got so you many things left in there. Left
but you
behind.
See, John Travolta gets a free pass. He just automatically goes to the top.
But what I love,
he can heal people by touching them.
But what I loved about this episode is they explain the whole Xenu thing.
Wait, that was the movie Michael.
And here's the Xenu.
We want to reveal to Stan the great secret of life behind our church, the safely guarded Scientology doctrine. Please, your son deserves to be enlightened. Stan, do you want to hear the great secret doctrine of life behind Scientology?
Sure.
All right, go ahead and tell him. Would you excuse us, please? This is highly classified church information.
Oh,
rats. Usually, to hear the secret doctrine, you have to be in the church for several years, Stan. Are you ready to hear the truth?
I guess.
You see, Stan, there is a reason for people feeling sad and depressed. An alien reason. It all began 75 million years ago. Then there was a galactic federation of planets, which was ruled over by the evil Lord Xenu. Xenu thought his galaxy
Jabba
was overpopulated, and so he rounded up countless aliens from all different planets, and then had those aliens frozen. The frozen alien bodies were loaded onto Xenu's galactic cruisers, which looked like DC-8s, except with rocket engines. Cruisers then took the frozen alien bodies to our planet, Earth, and dumped them into the volcanoes of Hawaii.
Hawaii.
The aliens were no longer frozen. They were dead. The souls of those aliens, however, lived on, and all floated up towards the sky. But the evil Lord Xenu had prepared for this. Xenu didn't want their souls to return, and so he built giant soul catchers in the sky. The souls were taken to a huge soul brainwashing facility, which Xenu had also built on Earth. There, the souls were forced to watch days of brainwashing material, which tricked them into believing a false reality. Xenu then released the alien souls, which roamed the Earth aimlessly in a fog of confusion. At the dawn of man, the souls finally found bodies which they could grab onto. They attached themselves to all mankind, which still to this day causes all our fears, our confusions, and our problems.
So That's what's doing it. It's good to know the truth, finally.
I think it's funny that they changed some of it to make it even more crazy, but I think the fact that they left out the thing about how he collected the people was through an income tax audit.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they should have left that.
Yeah, that's how he fooled all the aliens to coming to one place. It was a galactic tax audit.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And then what else was there? Oh, instead of them being frozen, he tied them around volcanoes and dropped atom bombs into
yeah.
the volcanoes.
I love it. So. And there's a part later on in the show where he's like, just do what L. Ron did. He said he closed his eyes and just wrote down whatever came to his mind. But anyway, I thought that was a genius episode.
So,
I don't even watch
South
Park.
I got a question
Park.
For
I didn't
you
know it was
on this
still
now.
On.
One of the Thetans got into that little tiki tour, the tiki head necklace of Bobby's on the Brady Bunch. Is that what was causing all the mayhem on that show?
I guess so.
Sorry, it just
hit
me.
It was a human body, but it wasn't.
It was in the little tiki head.
That's right. Oh, I was like, where the hell is Stephen going?
I'm going somewhere.
He's on the friggin' Brady Bunch in Hawaii, and we're on Scientology.
Hey, they were in Hawaii. That's where
hey,
I got it.
Stephen, we know you're a Scientologist, but don't try to change the subject.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Maybe that's what happens with a lot.
Stephen is my name.
You know what? That's what most Scientologists do, is whenever you start talking about Scientology, they start talking about the Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
I always thought they just put their hands over their ears and went, la, la, la.
No, they go, I'll sue you.
Yeah, they'll sue South Park.
Yeah, that's
they'll
what happens
sue us.
At the end of the episode. They're like, we'll sue you.
Yeah, and then everyone's names in the credits were John and Jane Smith.
Yeah.
That's why the Predator keeps coming anyone. Back here to fight the Thetans.
Well, let's hope they never find Mulberry.
Yes.
Along with
stay at your celebrity center in your other crazy place in Clearwater, Florida.
What I love about Mulberry is no one can find it. It's hard to get to.
I don't even know where it is.
That's denied.
Yes, you have to be a special member to get in.
Is it like Brigadoon?
Vanessa,
yes.
We've had you here in the studio plenty of times. You know how to get here.
Yeah, but I have a bad memory.
Yeah.
Well, that's because we blindfold her and bring her in. She just
yeah.
doesn't remember that.
No,
because
you drugged me, too.
Well, we did other things, too.
I'm very hurt.
Hey.
Is that why I was so sore?
It was Steven's idea.
Hey, guys, speaking of gay, did you watch the new Apprentice this
gay?
Week?
Yes.
Gay?
Did you guys like that segue?
Did you say Clay or gay?
Sweet mother of God, what is the holdup?
Now, on this episode of The Apprentice, the Donald had them all produce a song for XM Satellite Radio.
Right?
Boo!
Who comes up with these tasks, anyway? It should be some, like, I want a sandwich. I want a really good sandwich. The first one who brings me wins. And they're like, oh, shit, come on! And they're, like, cutting the
I'm
bread.
I'm not telling you what I want on my sandwich.
Throwing bologna. But anyway, on this episode, Clay... Oh, what I loved about this is like, now, Clay, would you like to join this other group of people over here? And
this is so exciting!
It's like, were they stupid to go, yeah, we'll take Clay. He seems like a great
Clay
guy.
Clay is so creative!
Why do you think they...
He's gay!
The gays are so creative.
Do you think... That now, Steven, I don't know why you're getting like that. That's very, very rude.
The guy was gay. Gay.
No, but what I'm saying is, do you think that they pulled them aside and said, Clay is going to be on your team. You can't do anything about it, so you're just going to take him. And so he's like, how do you guys feel about Clay being on your team? And they said, yeah, that's great.
This is so exciting.
Do you think they really had a choice? Because the guy is
no, of course they didn't.
The guy is such a tool.
They thought he being a raw deal that the other team was just kind of, you know.
Yeah, he thought that the other team was being rude to him. But the guy's a total dick.
You dick.
He is. He just sits there and sulks and bees gay. And
he's very condescending.
And what did you guys think of the songs they did?
Holy crap. I'd rather listen to John Mayer underwater than listen to that stuff.
The funniest thing is...
Hey, was the guy's name Jedi?
Yes. Jedi.
No, Jedi.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, okay.
No, the funniest thing about that is that the one guy got the channel number wrong.
Yeah.
Seriously, shouldn't he have been fired too? That's like
big
deal.
I don't think so.
But yeah, they had the guy from Nigeria, Jedi, and oh, God. Don't ever mention Jedi on the show. No, but he did some song about It's All About Me. What I thought was funny and ironic about Clay, like, it should be all about me, and he's talking about the song, but that's what he means, really.
Yeah, he was talking about himself.
Yeah, it should be all about me.
No,
I liked how the girl went, I'm sorry, but that's too feminine.
That was great. And the other song, I don't even remember that one. It's just some dude. I thought both songs sucked, totally.
Yeah.
I didn't mind that one, not Jade, but the other guy. I don't remember his name. It wasn't that bad. It was okay.
Oh, you know what? Both songs were perfect for XM Radio. Because it sucks.
It was Jedi and Michael McDonald. In
Howard Stern, January 9th, 2006, Sirius Radio. Yeah!
Here's a clip of the song that Jedi did.
Now, why didn't that win?
No, here's what happened on the premise.
All three, and we admit that. Clay, do you admit that? Yes, all of you made mistakes. Clay, one of the points Rebecca made was the fact that you're very, very hard to work with. I wonder whether or not you affected negatively these two people.
With your gayness.
Rebecca, you've been outstanding. There's no question about that. But this is not outstanding at all. Your presentation in particular was not good. Simply thrilled with your performance or, frankly, your leadership abilities. Randall, I think I'm probably most disappointed with you. Rhodes Scholar, brilliant guy, you're too good to put on a performance like you did. And I think you admit that.
I do.
I don't think any of you should be proud of the performance this week. But in life, you have to look at past events.
And
that's called history. Too many countries, too many businesses
Trump's
have been
giving
destroyed
us a history lesson
by not studying history.
Ah.
Clay, Rebecca told me she couldn't work with you again. Other teammates of yours told me they couldn't work with you again. Allah said it. Adam said it. They were so happy when you left that team.
All of
you're
oil
supposed
said
to be
it
creative. But no matter which team you're on, all you do is create problems. Clay, you're fired.
You're no longer allowed to be gay.
You are now straight.
No! Don't be gay, Clay.
Thank
Don't
you.
Be gay.
Poor Clay. Now, you know the chick that is on his team with the crutches?
Yeah.
She kind of has a Kate from Lost vibe going.
Yeah, she's very cute. I'd give her a crutch.
What?
I don't know.
Okay, well, Clay was S-canned.
Oh, well, more than just once.
Well, I don't even want to know what that means.
Don't ask.
Now, who cares
How
what happens?
How do you know what that means?
I'm pretending.
Canned.
S-canned.
Hoocha, hoocha, hoocha. Lobster.
This week was a fantastic My Name is Earl.
I'd love this Earl this week.
It was good. Joy is getting married to Crabman. And they
hey, Crabman.
They don't invite Earl, which, and it's on his birthday, too.
Randy's comment, how should I get my chicken?
McNuggeted?
Fried or McNuggeted?
Yeah. Oh, I love the part with, was it Katarina? She's like, I want music so I can dance. And she's dancing, and he's just staring at her like, oh.
Randy,
I was like, Randy staring at that. Us. Whoa.
But the funny thing is, he feels bad because he ruins her first attempt at a wedding, and here's what happens.
I don't want us to be like this. Joy, I don't care that you plan this on my birthday. It's my birthday today. In fact, maybe just real quick.
Earl!
Oh, that's cool. Today is for you. What part of wedding don't you understand? There's a woman getting married and you're going to ruin it.
And he hits Joy right in the nose.
The soccer ball.
Yeah. He breaks her nose with a soccer ball. Cause there's
guys. I got to give it to Jamie Presley for that look she made after she got hit. That was great.
But what's great is he decides, okay, she's on his list now. He ruined her wedding. So he's going to help her throw her wedding. And they become closer as they're doing this. They end up having sex. And it's so great. They come in. They're all over each other making out. And they lay on the bed. And all of a sudden the camera pans up. And Randy's just sitting there on the bed like looking down at him.
Yeah, like a frightened child.
They didn't even notice him there the whole time. And he's like, the next morning, Earl says something like, do you remember anything that happened? And Randy goes, unfortunately, everything.
Well, he thought he was talking to Joy.
Yeah, he's like, I remember everything vividly, and I'm trying to forget.
The way they shot that, it implies that that's happened before.
And
the way they just kind of come in and go at each other, and Randy's there like, oh my God.
And I thought about, did Randy ever leave? I don't think he left. I'm
pretty sure he didn't.
But it was really good. And, he feels guilty for sleeping with Joy, so he wants to tell Crabman. But Joy says, I'll tell him. But instead she says that Earl slept with your mom. So Crabman thinks Earl. And he goes, come on, man. She's done it before.
You've done it with her.
And he's like, what? I have never had relations with my mama.
Sexual relations.
But at the very end, you know, they have the big wedding. And I love the wedding cake. It's got Twinkies and Ding Dongs.
You know what's sad is that we've seen that before. Like couples getting married and they just have a gigantic tower of King Dongs and Twinkies.
I thought that was genius. And then Earl breakdances at the end, which is cool too. I thought that was
really funny.
This was like all the other episodes. They've been, you know, the first couple episodes really good. Then it's kind of been okay, and then this one was like awesome. I thought it was great. Let's talk about Alias for a second, guys.
Thump.
Now Vanessa will be happy to know that Gordon Dean is captured on this episode.
Oh, I'm thrilled. I'll be back.
Here's how it happened.
Excuse me. Mama coming through. Watch out. Don't jostle the package.
Don't jostle the package.
Oracle, can you get us a closer look at Sloan?
The Oracle, we're in the Matrix.
I got him. The package has arrived.
East Concord.
There.
What's with the shaft music?
Lovely day.
The whole scene takes place in a nightclub. Yeah. That's where they interview Katie Holmes.
Move
in for Dean.
So basically what they're doing here is they're at a racetrack and they're stalking Gordon Dean. They know he's going to be there and they're going to bust him.
Oracle has lost sight of him.
Right, Bill?
There.
Yes.
They're getting away. Phoenix, come in. We've got a problem.
Damn it.
We've got a problem.
You don't need to do this. I'm telling you, I came here by myself. Just keep going.
Somebody's getting their ass kicked.
Sloan got owned.
Oh, yeah, Sloan did get his ass kicked there.
What are you doing here, Rachel?
You
gonna fight me?
Oh, yeah, this is where Rachel gets in a fight.
Why do you think we never put you in the field? Because we knew you weren't quit.
Well then.
Try me, big boy.
Hi-ya!
Hi-ya!
Wow, what's going on in this episode?
Are you sure it's a fight?
We need to talk to ABC about their music.
Yeah, actually, on Dean.
What's he doing?
Eating dirt. I just hit him with a shovel.
A shovel? Is he conscious?
Yeah, I think so.
Then hit him again.
Oh! But anyway,
what was with that? Oh.
Hey, she likes to make that sound while
she's
kicking ass.
She's passionate when she's fighting.
Yes.
Did she actually say, hi, y'all?
No, that was me,
no.
Vanessa.
Oh, okay.
Good Lord. Now, Vanessa, you will be happy to know that the new bad guy was revealed this episode, and that's Angus McFadden, Robert Bruce from Braveheart.
From
Father.
He wasn't Father. He was DuPont in Equilibrium.
Was Father.
Yes, because
well,
Father died
puppy.
Many years
Man,
ago.
Man, weird. But anyway, he's in Equilibrium.
Right.
But anyway, it was a good episode, and Nadia wakes up for a bit on this episode because he shows Arvin Sloan that he could wake her up any time if he does his bidding. So Arvin goes and he offs Gordon Dean.
Yeah, and the great thing about this episode is it's kind of getting back to the first season sort of stuff where there's this shadow government.
Yeah.
And, you know, they track the satellites back and it goes to all these different top secret agencies within various governments all over the world.
What I liked is there was a sense of dread here because they are outnumbered. These bad
guys,
they're
screwed.
They have their hands in everybody's pockets. And then at the end, the real depressing part is like December 7th, the next alias. And I'm like, what?
But they're moving it back to after Lost.
Yes, they
night.
Are. Yes, they are. And I'll be excited when it comes back because it's really getting good. And I got to say, Alias has gotten a lot better since last season. Even though
they've really cleaned it up.
The second half of last season was really good, and this has continued on with that. Another show that I'm really liking this season is Veronica Mars. And
yes,
I thought this was an outstanding episode. And,
yeah, it was good.
And it had a great opening because it has Veronica doing the dude. If you don't know what I'm talking about, the dude from
Big Lebowski.
The Big Lebowski. Here's a clip.
Not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski.
I'm the dude.
So that's what you call me, you know?
Dudeness or duder or El Duderino if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
Veronica, you need to stop being the dude.
Stoner bowler doesn't do it for you?
A little. Only because I like the way your lips pout when you do guy voice.
These lips? I've had them for years. I can't do a thing with them.
Now, the only thing about Veronica Mars, I hate when she's talking to her boyfriend. Even though
I think they need to kill off
Duncan. She gets overly girly with it.
When they do the intimate boyfriend-girlfriend scenes, it's just kind of like, okay, move on to the plot of the show.
Well, that's why they bring Logan in there, and it kind of gets awkward.
Yeah, he's like, hey, why don't you guys tell me you're watching The Big Lebowski? And what's funny is Charisma Carpenter's character shows up to do him. And what I loved about her character is basically the guy she's married to ran off because he's wanted by the government for embezzling money.
Carpenters.
Yeah, she has no money now. So the first thing she does
is Karen Carpenter.
She starts hitting on the younger kids that have money, like, hey, you know. Like, she goes to Logan and she's like, you know, I need some things now. And he's like,
oh, she has some scruples. She won't do her spoiled stepson.
Right. But
dick.
But I love what he says is, hey, when the milk's not free anymore and I got to start paying for it, I'm not interested. And she gets pissed off and she goes across the hall to Duncan's room and he's taking a shower and she's sitting there naked. And you know what? They didn't show what happened. They just show him come out of the room and he's fully dressed. Do you think?
Red herring.
But what this episode is about is Veronica is and her boyfriend find out through means that I'm not even going to try to explain, but they know that a child that someone was babysitting is being emotionally abused. So Veronica starts babysitting all these kids to see who it is because they need help. And what really you find out is like all kids are emotionally abused in some way by these parents. They're all crazy. From not letting them ever watch TV to very restricted diets. But they finally find at the end that this girl is being locked in a closet. And what was it she had to write over and over again in her multi-notebooks and stuff?
It rubs
the
lotion on
the skin. The path of righteousness leads to godliness or something?
Yeah, and she wrote that millions of times. It's like in all these notebooks. But this is a great show. Check it out if you have it.
I still like it.
Yeah, Vanessa, you're going to eventually have to watch this show.
When does it come on?
Thursday.
It comes on Wednesdays, the same times as Lost on Wednesday.
You to consider Scientology.
Speaking of Scientology, did anyone watch Smallville this week?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Now, the mom, poor Mrs. Kent. What's her first name?
Annette O'Toole.
Yeah.
Martha
just
Kent.
Annette O'Toole, Martha Kent, whatever.
Who was naked in Cat People.
What? Isn't that Natasha Kinski?
No, she was in that, and she was naked in it.
Oh, okay.
The update.
All right. Well,
he's a historian of ass.
Yeah.
I told you.
All right, his mom gets sick, and Professor Milton Fine tells Clark that, hell, let's just play a clip.
All right, look, my wife needs medical attention. You're obviously not a doctor, so why don't you make this easier on both of us and just get out of my way.
Yeah, the doctors couldn't help. At least let him take a look at her.
It's been a day and a half since she fell unconscious.
Yes, exactly.
Clark, go out and get the truck. Martha, I'm taking you back to the hospital, sweetheart. Come on.
The doctors can't treat her, Mr. Kent. Trust me. If
If they puncture her skin or use any medication, it could kill her instantly.
Why should I trust you?
Because he's Kryptonian. This could be a Kryptonian disease.
Clark.
Mom? Mom?
Uh-oh. What's happening?
She needs a meteor rocket. Do you have a meteor rocket?
Dead in the closet.
Yeah.
It's on the top shelf.
Yeah, where they always keep them.
Martha?
Let's keep them next to the encyclopedia.
Hold it to her forehead.
It's working.
In this case, appearances are deceiving. There is no cure. The meteor will only help ease her pain.
No.
I'm sorry, Kal-El. Within a matter of hours, your Earth mother will be dead.
She's screwed.
Your Earth mother.
Clark, go get General Lee. We're taking her to the hospital.
Now, why does Clark have kryptonite in his closet? Top shelf on the left, Dad, right next to my Playboys.
That's because that's where they put him in the closet to make him write, I am your son, Kal-El, on a notebook. Yeah. Over and over.
Okay.
Sorry,
I went back.
Man, Quaggy, can you find a cricket's chirping drop? Now,
tries, and yet he fails.
There was a
strike
nice,
two.
There was a nice subplot here where Lois and Chloe decide to investigate Milton Fine, because prompted by Lex's dad. Now, they show up to this place, and there was a cliche here that I realized that I've seen way too many times in past weeks, and that's hot chick distracting security guy.
Distracting dumb security
guy. I mean, it happens every week on Alias. It's like, hi, what are you doing? Oh, that's so interesting. It's like, oh.
Yeah, but at least on Alias.
Go ahead and walk by.
At least on Alias, they shoot him or...
Yeah, but I started thinking, if I worked at a security desk every day and it was boring, and all of a sudden, you know, Lois or Rachel Gibson walked up to me in a skimpy outfit, and they're like, hi, I might be, oh, wee. You know,
the first thing I thought whenever they pulled up to that security post was that Hobgoblins movie.
The MST, a 3K.
Mystery Science Theater 3000 mentioned, sorry.
That everyone should check it out. But anyway, she successfully distracts, and Chloe sneaks in, and she's looking through a vent, and the T-1000's in there. What the hell is going on? What's he doing on this
show?
Little
oil is rolling across the floor.
Why did the security guard want to get into Lois's car? I didn't understand.
She's like,
that's really sweet ride.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, that's a hot car, man. She's like, yeah, look at the glove compartment space. You can fit gloves in there. That might not be the exact dialogue, but it's something like
look
that.
At the factory. Look at the factory installed stereo.
Yeah, it had heated seats, and she had XM radio, so she could listen
Boo!
To the Donald Trump song. So they could play this song. It's Foggy, knock it off. All right, but anyway, what happens on this episode is it turns out that Milton Fine, he says he's Kryptonian, and that Jor-El is doing this to Clark's mom.
Because Jor-El's a prick.
He needs to destroy his Fortress of Solitude. And so he goes to do it, and it turns out, no, he's not Kryptonian. He's a disciple of Zod, in a way. I don't know if this was in the comic books, but of course we know he's Brainiac, and he's super smart or whatever. But he doesn't seem to... he doesn't ever turn around to look to see Chloe taking the kryptonite off.
Yeah, he
off
just Clark. Stares yeah. into the Phantom Zone.
Like, he's like, ooh, pretty.
I'm going to let them people go in there.
And then, of course, he kicks his ass and he gets impaled on ice stuff. And
Swirly?
Swirly.
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 He gets impaled on the... that, I guess it would be like the Fortress of Solitude computer system.
Yeah, it's like... It's almost like the Fortress of Solitude was working with him. Like, hey, throw him over here. I'll impale him on this.
Struggling.
And it was a great episode.
There's some pretty neat effects in the fight, though. Like,
yeah.
Though they slow down time, like Matrix-y.
They're flying around and stuff, and Chloe's just looking in there with her mouth open, like, huh?
You know, yeah,
it's happening
like
too fast.
Open.
I can see blurs fighting.
Yeah, there's stuff going on here. But anyway, I'm not knocking Smallville. I like the show, and I'm glad that you guys got me into this show.
You're welcome.
It's a fun show.
It is. It's a real fun show. And you know what? There's been at least two episodes in the last couple of weeks. No Lana.
What's up with that?
I don't know. I haven't.
She
you know
might,
what?
She might
she
be
disappears.
Filming.
A,
she's filming
she disappears,
a movie.
She disappears. You don't even
something.
Realize it.
Yeah, and you know what? I didn't even realize that until just
I forgot
now.
To tell you, she's having her e-meter readings. That's right, I remember.
This is going to be a f***ing disaster.
It was her turn after me when I left L.A.
Speaking of
that's a long reading.
I was there for 2 weeks. What are you talking about?
Finally, back on subject, is we
I'd
have a new
e-meter.
Lost.
We do?
Yes.
There was a new Lost.
This episode is the Michelle Rodriguez episode.
That's why I didn't watch
this
it.
Is about the tail enders, as they're calling them. The people,
the tail enders.
People on the tail end of the plane. That,
I caught the tail end of the show.
You know, it's like, basically, this episode was midichlorians. Stuff we didn't really need to know. But it's okay. It was a decent episode.
I liked it.
It was nice to see Dr. Mike Burton show up on the island from Ed.
Yay, Ed!
Yeah, Dr. Mike shows up.
I missed Ed.
And you see how everyone is, you know, on the island. But, you know, what's sad about these people, they crashed without any supplies like
exactly.
The other people. They were kind of screwed. And what happens is all of a sudden they start disappearing. You know, they're attacked in the night. But Mr. Echo takes out two of them, and they discover these others are just in raggy clothing and stuff. And Michelle Rodriguez takes charge of everything. And
why? Why did they let that happen?
I don't know, but so I don't have to talk to Michelle
Rodriguez. I got a bad attitude. Follow me.
Tough Latina chick.
Here's a recap of what happened.
The cat! They
got
the cat!
Ouch!
It's a list.
A list of what?
Of us.
They could have gotten our names from the people they already took.
Nobody knew anybody's names the first night.
Maybe they're watching us.
Hey. Really think it's possible that one of us is... one of them?
Why do you think I'm digging this hole?
I thought it was a bathroom hole, but anyway.
He wasn't on the plane.
What?
We were on the plane for 2 hours. I didn't see him once.
If he really were one of them, why would he still be here?
I don't know, but I'm gonna find out.
Grab the rope! Ouch!
Bye, Dr. Mike.
Nathan's gone.
Anna, what are you going to do?
They found us. It's time to move.
What is it?
I don't know.
Yeah, we had the Dharma logo in this one, but a different Dharma logo. Oh, and it said quarantine on the door, too.
How did you find Bernard up in the tree?
Why are you asking me about that, Anna?
You ran out of the jungle 10 minutes after the crash. You weren't wet. You were never even in the ocean. Nathan, did you kill him?
Nathan was not a good person. That's why he wasn't on the list.
Ooh. Ah! Ooh! Right in the balls! Oh!
We're safe here now.
Let's go. Hello?
Anybody out there?
Repeat your transmission.
Hello! We're survivors of the crash of Oceanic Flight 815. Please copy.
We're the survivors of Flight 815.
It's them. They're trying to draw us out. They're trying to find us.
That doesn't make sense.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
No, Anna Lucia, or whatever the hell her name is, who cares? She's, like, all paranoid now, and she's bossing everybody around. Wouldn't you guys have said, all right, lady, chill out a little bit, all right?
How do I know you're not one of them?
Yeah. But anyway, okay, what did we learn from this episode?
Nothing.
They targeted certain people to take.
Yes,
they target good people. people.
Yeah.
Right.
What does he mean by that? He
tasty.
He said Dr. Mike, which was Nathan, was not a good person. That's why they didn't take him. Now, they did try to take Mr. Echo, but he fought him off and he killed two dudes. So they didn't try to take Michelle Rodriguez. So does that mean she's bad? Or
right. She probably has something she's hiding.
She's not worthy.
How do you know? Did you look at the list yourself and see her name not on there?
I made the list.
Dun, dun. But anyway, next week there's more Michelle Rodriguez on the show, and great.
Do you think she'll become a permanent cast member?
God, I hope not. I really like the show, and they're ruining it. Thank you. She's dead!
Maybe Saeed will get her.
There would be cheers all over the world.
And then next week she's like, Saeed, he wants to kill me because I killed his girlfriend. Well, hello, you dumbass. We all want you dead.
Yeah. She was yelling, Walt.
Yeah, didn't you hear, Walt, that's something the others say. You know, but I
guess I would be the one. Yeah,
the others sneak up on you screaming, Walt.
One thing I read, which I thought was funny, is someone was like, okay, I finally understand Lost. The first season, the people on the side of the island, we know, those are the good actors, and the tail enders, that's where all the bad actors were. No
Not
offense.
Tail enders, it's ass enders.
The ass enders. Well, of course, every episode of Lost has stupid Lost theories! Or just one of them. Alright, guys, this could quite possibly be the greatest Lost theory I've ever heard. This actually isn't the first time people have been on the island. Man, harness my chi.
Take a deep breath.
Let me harness my chi for a second. Okay, here's what it is. Anna Lucia, or Lucia, or whatever. Can they just call her Anna? Come on, writers. Yeah. Okay.
Bad actress.
Michelle Rodriguez has been on the island multiple times. Now, let me explain myself, Steven. Don't give me that quizzical look. She is the Lost champion three times over. This is the fourth time she's been on the island.
You know what? They just ripped that completely off from Battle Royal.
I thought that was Running
Battle
Man.
Battle Royale.
Shut up. No, have any of you seen that Japanese film,
yes.
Battle Royal? Yeah, so that's exactly what that was. They collect the people, ship them to the island, whoever.
And that's why she's so bossy and stuff, because she's been here before and she's used to taking charge, but they're throwing her curveballs because each season it's something different that's happening. And that's why she's so in charge. She's like, okay, Dr. Mike Burton, he's one of them. I'm going to dig a pit. I did that last season. That seemed to work. But, they're throwing her curveballs. And that's why she killed Shannon and stuff. So this is what it is. She's going for another title. And,
you mean she has balls?
This is, could quite possibly be the worst Lost theory I've ever heard.
That doesn't make sense.
You're right, it doesn't. Hey guys, do you know what it's time for? Movie Drops! Let's play the Movie Drops game. The game where I play sound clips and you try to guess what the movie is. You guys ready to play?
Yes.
Sure.
Are you guys ready?
Woohoo!
Yay! All right.
I'm more than ready, but is Vanessa truly ready?
I've decided.
I am ready.
I have decided after weeks of Vanessa being insane over this game to let to let her go first.
Yay!
Do you guys all think that's a good idea?
But I think that's the best thing for all of us.
Here's how the game works. I will play three clues.
You will pay Vanessa to shut up, right?
I will play three clues, and Vanessa will either guess or I'll play a final clue. If she doesn't get after that, you guys get a turn.
She's shit-canned.
Here we go.
That's right.
Clue number one.
I know you've been thinking about it.
Oh, no, I haven't.
Yes, you have.
No, I really haven't.
Yes, you have. You happen to get a good night kiss.
No, I tell you, I was hoping to get a good night late.
All right.
Well, hunting.
All right, Steven, here's clue number one of Movie Drops 2.
Actually, my name is Craig Schwartz, Dr. Lester.
Security!
No, sir, it's just a little mix-up with your secretary. My name is Craig Schwartz. I tried to explain that to her.
She's not my secretary. She's what they call an executive liaison. Ah. And I'm not banging her, if that's what you're implying.
No, sir, not at all. I think I must have simply misspoke.
All right, Steven, clue number two.
The weird thing is this Maxine likes to call me Lottie. Ouch.
That is hot. Maybe she's using you to channel some dead lesbian lover. Sounds like my kind of gal. Let me know when you're done with her, yeah?
What are you talking about? Done with her, man. Tonight really freaked me out.
All right, Stephen, and clue number three.
I like you. I don't know what it is about you. I just...
My kid?
No.
No?
No, it's your energy, your attitude, you know, the way you carry yourself.
You're not a fag, are you?
No, I am really attracted to you.
No, I am really attracted to you. Christ, you are a fag. Okay, well, we can share recipes if you like, Darlene.
No, wait, listen. I love your tits. I love you.
Good.
I want to fuck you.
Great, now we're getting somewhere. Not a chance.
All right, Steven, what's the movie? All right, here's clue number four. If you don't get this, Bill and Vanessa get a turn.
Pardon me, how old are you, sir?
105. Carrot juice. Lots of it. I swear sometimes it's not worth it. I piss orange. Oh, and I have to piss sitting down like a goddamn girly girl every 15 minutes.
All right, Steven, what's the movie?
Not a clue.
All right. Do you guys know?
Yes.
All right.
Go ahead, because I don't.
It's Being John Malkovich.
Exactly.
Never saw it.
Ding, 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 ding.
I saw it, but man.
You didn't really miss anything.
I can't believe Vanessa didn't know. I'm kind of shocked.
I've never seen it.
Well, Vanessa knows everything. It's just a slight lapse.
Since when do I know everything?
You don't claim to know everything?
When did I ever claim that?
All right. Steven, you've been eliminated. You can no longer play.
Well, I get a chance if somebody misses. Vanessa, Bill misses, I still get a chance, right?
Vanessa and Bill are still in the game. Here we go. Clue number one.
Guys, I'm going to be in college soon. You know who's going to be in college, right?
Girls that used to be in high school.
All right, and here's clue number two.
There's a mirror right there. Why don't you take a look, okay? You're white.
All right, and clue number three.
Don't throw away a yearbook. Supposed to cherish it forever.
All right.
Can't hardly wait.
Oh, Vanessa got it. Ding, 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 yeah. Ding.
I just watched
I've
that.
Only, I've only seen the movie once, so she, yeah, go for it.
All right. Bill, you're not out of it yet. There's a bonus
there's still
round.
One more.
We didn't kick you out yet. I tried.
All right.
That's too bad.
Now, after the third clue, whoever says it first will be tied.
Oh, God, this girl's really turning me on.
All right. And here's clue number two.
My thanks to you.
What for?
Well, for giving a dumb old bird a second chance.
All right, here's clue number three.
You're crazy.
All right, anyone have any idea? You know
no.
What the hell, Steven? I'm going to let you be able to guess on the fourth one, too. Whoever says it first wins movie drops.
Okay. Well, who wants to live forever?
Flash Gordon.
Flash. Yeah. The greatest movie ever made.
With a Queen soundtrack.
All I needed to hear was that line.
Yeah.
Let's do the news.
This is going to be a f***ing disaster.
All right, Vanessa, what you got in the news this week?
Christina Aguilera has found out what a girl wants, and now she's marrying him. Wedding festivities for the pop singer and fiancé Jordan Bratman begin Thursday in Northern California's Napa Valley. A rehearsal dinner was held Friday at the Auberge du Soleil.
I can't believe Christina Aguilera is getting married. Damn.
She's going to compete with Britney.
Do whatever Britney does.
He chose...
I've got to forward you this picture of her because she has so much makeup. She looks like a clown. Bratman
Access
is a 28-year-old music executive, and he proposed to Aguilera in February.
These people know? It's the same thing Mariah Carey did. You don't marry music executives. They will destroy your career.
I guess at least they didn't just...
She doesn't really have a career right now, so...
True. Yeah, you know what? I haven't seen her in the news in a long time.
That's probably why. Well, no, because they've been together for a while.
Do you think it's because that Britney has maybe taken over the limelight with her baby?
Well. Look who it is. Hi, bitch.
Okay. I think it's that... That maybe Christina Aguilera just doesn't care anymore.
Yeah, that's possible, you know.
I don't think this is a
I think the headline to that story was horrible. Where, you know, what she found out what a girl wants.
Penis. Well, they've been together for quite a while.
Struggling.
In February, if it was some scam, you know, publicity scam, they would have eloped. But they've been, you know, engaged for almost a year.
All right, next story.
Okay.
Emmy worthy.
Employers be warned. UK workers who schedule Wednesday meetings are potentially going to a job interview, and regular Friday night afternoon meetings could be an excuse for a rendezvous with a lover. A survey of 167 companies revealed a growing trend of so-called meme meetings. Out-of-office meetings used to cover a more personal encounter. Boinking, basically.
That's a huge bitch!
Do
the
what
poll,
now?
They're going to boink. Have sex. Screw. No. Hunka-chunka. You know.
Hunka-chunka, nice.
Hunka-chunka. Afternoon delight.
That's right.
You block it.
It also showed that over half of their colleagues were suspicious of the motives behind the meetings for which many of their workmates left the office.
Well, I need to get, I've got a meeting I got to get to.
Would Where
you guys,
is the beef?
Let's wrap this up.
With Clara Peller.
But they're basically saying that a lot of the times it's masking a rendezvous. I'll call it a rendezvous.
Right.
That's a great
a screw session. But
a secret rendezvous, if you will.
A tryst.
Yes.
A Jody Watley song.
I'm very hurt.
What hole did I pull that out of? Hey, would you guys say that this drop defines our entire show?
Struggling.
Close, yes.
Yes.
All right.
All right, in Los Angeles, the former Hollywood madam Heidi Fleiss,
uh-oh,
whose previous career running a call girl ring landed her in prison, is returning to the world's oldest profession, but to open a Nevada brothel catering to women.
Is it kind of like that HBO show, you know, what is that called, Bill?
Cat House.
Yeah, I knew Bill would know.
This is for women. It's, you know, talking about, because she says that
men are selling their bodies.
Yes. The
man, I feel really bad for those men.
Well,
wait,
you know,
imagine,
I'm going to go fill out an application.
They're going to come in there.
Wait, now, why would you feel bad for the men?
Oh, hello, Vanessa.
Can you imagine some of the pigs that are going to come into there?
What about the women, the fat-ass, sweaty men that come in there?
Feel sorry
so?
For them, too.
That's wheels off.
Exactly.
You can't feel sorry for these people because they choose that life.
Exactly.
This
and
is the life they've
money.
Chosen.
They charge $250 an hour.
Nice.
Plus...
I don't know what that has to do with anything.
Well,
the Predator,
you know, also,
apparently is working.
Are you
he
sure?
The brothels.
Are you sure that brothel is just for women?
Yes.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So it's,
you know,
not going to be like gay brothel with.
Because you see, in the other brothels, women are welcome.
No, I heard it on Howard Stern actually this week where they were talking about it.
So now they have she has something for the women.
Right.
Right on, lady. Give us some men. Some beefcakes.
Okay. Vanessa, will you be using this service?
Beefcakes, not
Where's the beef clip would be good right there.
Would you, like, say...
Access denied.
Would you pay, like, say, $5,000 for a night with one of these guys?
That's pretty bad.
Say a guy who looks like Lorenzo Lamas?
Ew.
Hello.
Like Mike Madonna, Hugh Jackman, sure. But not, no... Not Lorenzo Lamas.
I'm just going. I thought women liked Lorenzo Lamas. I mean, that show Renegade kicked ass.
What about the butter guy? I can't believe it's not butter.
Oh, Fabio? Would you pay to have sex with Fabio?
I can't believe I can't talk. I would pay to see another goose smack into his head.
Oh, yeah! The goose that flew into his face on the roller coaster. That was awesome.
Yeah, and the look on his face was hilarious.
The broken nose with the blood coming out.
That was so awesome. That was one of the best news stories ever. I wish our show existed for that news to happen now.
Well, you know...
Damn it!
You can't miss news stories
right,
like that every week.
Right,
something's got to happen.
All right,
Vanessa, next story.
A Chinese peasant woman in Beijing suffered a brain hemorrhage and was left at the undertaker's alive for cremation because her family could no longer afford hospital treatment.
Oh, my God.
She was only
Burn
saved.
The bitch!
So exciting! She was only saved by the tears in her eyes. The case is the
That's
latest
a nightmare.
In a series... of tragedies illustrating China's stretched healthcare system and the inability of rural workers to meet spiraling medical costs.
You better cut it out right now or I'll pound you.
This is a girl's name. Yu Guoying, a 47-year-old migrant worker from southwestern... I can't say this name.
I do Guoying often. What about you guys?
Was taken.
Yes, all the time.
Was taken for cremation by her husband and children.
This
where
is
she
a
worked.
Terrible story.
Fortunately for her, the undertaker worst realized she was still alive.
So is she okay now? Is everything fine?
I'm getting there.
No, she's a vegetable. She had a brain hemorrhage.
I said, fortunately for her, the undertaker realized she was still alive when he saw her move and tears were in her eyes. It's not only a tragedy for the family, but for society. And it's talking about how people are so broke
right.
that they can't keep their family on life support. So they're like, okay, here's just cremate them, even though they're still alive.
It's communist China.
Yeah, but so she. But luckily, the you know,
man's got to know his limitations.
The caretaker saw the tears and saw her move, so he couldn't do it. He was like, I'm not going to kill this lady.
Why but, not?
Oh, come on. But, so, yeah, luckily he found her. She was alive.
You're going down, Red Knight! Going down, down, down!
What? Foggy's off his game today. So that's a totally story. Let's hear a happy story now.
Well, finally, in Seattle, a federal judge sentenced a former Microsoft Corporation employee on Friday to 4 years in prison for illegally selling millions of dollars of company software. Finn Contini, 37, of Redmond, pleaded guilty in January to one count of conspiracy to commit mail fraud and four counts of money laundering. He admitted to ordering 2,700 pieces of software worth about $7 million through Microsoft's internal ordering program, you know, for employees and for clients, which he then sold for a personal profit of $2.3 million.
Nice.
Smart.
Oh.
Nice.
Go get a bag of bats, killer.
But they're disputing that he's the ringleader. They were also sentenced three other employees earlier in the year.
Yeah,
for,
you know who the guy that was really running it was?
Bill Gates.
Al Jarreau.
Your mom.
But they took his, you know, $1 million, $1.7 million in assets he acquired from the money, such as his car. They took his silver and gold coin collection, $188,000 in his bank account, and his 2003 Toyota Highlander.
You know, that's what sucks is when you embezzle lots of money. They don't just take crap that you stole. They take stuff that you had before
you
committed
crime. You're dumb enough not to have an overseas account which can't be touched.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not very smart of him.
My comic book collection!
I would have hopped on a plane to the Caymans.
Oh, hell yeah.
Good times.
But that's the news.
Now, guys, let's see what's happening on DVD. With Bill, the DVD guy. All right, Bill, what's going on?
Sweet mother of God, what is the holdup?
For November 22nd, 2005. I can't believe it's already November 22nd, 2005.
It's Christmas time.
Oh, don't even remind me. This is not exactly a terrific week for DVD. Oh, I think they're waiting.
Bitch.
Yeah, I think they're waiting for like
Christmas,
a couple of weeks.
Christmas.
Yeah, that would make sense.
The 29th is a huge day. I'm spending a ridiculous amount of money on the 29th.
Yes.
So the 22nd, we have a great Kurosawa film, Ran, which is an adaptation of, Shakespeare?
Not funny, haha, funny, queer.
It's King Lear. King Lear is the adaptation. It's coming out in a Criterion Collection. Which it came out before a few years back, but they're doing a new one because they lost the rights to it and they've got it back. So if you don't have it yet, pick it up. It's a great film and it's got some really great commentaries. You can always count on Criterion for like commentaries from film scholars, which are always interesting. If you're a fan of
Bill,
film,
have you been doing coke this evening?
My cousin's a cokehead.
Yes, I have.
You went from real slow to like really fast.
Ran, Criterion, great movie.
Did that come out in, is that the one that came out in the 80s?
Yes.
I'm not
yes,
into movies like that. I don't care about jogging or any of that stuff.
Well, see, Kurosawa films, you know, people gush over them like, oh, Kurosawa film, you know, film fanatics. But,
where's the airplane?
They're just really good. Like, Seven Samurai is one of my all-time favorite movies. It's a 3.5-hour Japanese movie, black and white. But that, it's amazing.
Kurosawa is one of Lucas's influences, The Hidden Fortress, on Star Wars.
And you can really see
but
it.
But he didn't have a prequel to that for him to be excited over. Right?
Yeah, can you imagine if Kurosawa is like, here's my prequels to The Hidden Fortress. It's like, huh? It turns out there's this thing called Wickedorkians that are inside your blood controlling things.
Making
like,
you a better samurai.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, the second and last DVD for November 22nd.
Ooh. Is it Navy SEALs?
Yay! Yeah, right.
Jeez.
The Steven Spielberg Tom Cruise collaboration. War of the Worlds.
Oh, hell yeah.
You want me to tell you
Biznitch.
One thing about
I'd like you to consider Scientology.
What is it?
I went to Blockbuster because when I saw the commercial and everything, I was like, I really want to see the original one. They don't even have the original one there. They have the TV remake, and they're going to have the Tom Cruise
The TV
one.
Remake is hilarious.
Oh, gosh. Just the box looks hilarious.
What, TV remake? What are you talking about?
Yeah, they did a TV remake in what, the early 90s?
I think it was, yeah.
Oh, yes, it was a TV series.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand what you mean now.
How will they take you?
They don't even have the original movie. They only have the remake. So
they have it at Best Buy. You can get it.
Yeah, just go buy it. Why, Vanessa, why are you still going to Lackluster Video? I mean, seriously.
Because I
Who
don't...
Who is your daddy?
I don't necessarily want to buy all the movies.
Aren't there any, like, good mom-and-pop rental shops around you?
No.
There
really
aren't?
No.
In
Mulberry,
Vanessa, there ought to be... Here in the cultural district, there's at least... Two I can think of. One
That's
is
really.
One is
That's...
Pickle Video.
Whoa,
Pickle
there.
Pickle Video.
And the one is the Lurch's Video Extravaganza.
So bad.
If there are there straws anywhere around?
Check it out. Here's a bag. Here's a bag. Oh, a bag full of nothing.
Wow. Steven's getting
feisty,
yeah.
This is what I think about your opinion, Steven.
Well, opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one.
Wow, it's the battle of the wills. Okay, so the only redeeming quality for War of the Worlds is a DTS 5-1 track.
I've heard the movie's good and bad. I heard that it... Yeah. Basically, the ending is like, hey, go F yourself.
There's a second disc all about Scientology on this.
Yeah. It's a two-disc limited edition.
I heard
the L. Ron Hubbard collection.
Xenu shows up at the end to give Tom Cruise a tax audit. I mean, come on. After all this cool action. But I do know that the DVD and DTS will have incredible sound. You know, people screaming left to right channel, things blowing up, Dakota Fanning screaming and giving you a splitting headache.
Jason, are you on coke? You were quiet 1 minute and then really fast the next.
What it is, Bill, is I'm addicted to marijuana.
Reefer madness!
It's just, I can't stop smoking. It's great stuff.
Since there aren't that many DVDs this week, I just want to give some people some heads up. On
marijuana is not a drug. I used to suck dick for coke.
So DVDs that are coming out the 29th, I just want to give people a heads up because it's going to be a really big week. Get your pre-orders in now.
Hey, I'm going to start jotting this down right now.
We'll discuss them next week's show, but here we go. I'm just going to run down the list.
Okay.
Deuce Bigalow, European Gigolo. If you like the first one, this one is even more crass, it's actually funny.
I've heard that it's atrocious.
It's funny. Too.
It's cinematic turd is what I've heard.
Oh, it's absolutely a cinematic turd, but it's hilarious. Okay, Family Guy Volume 3. I think it's like Season 3. I have Volume 1 and 2, so I'm hoping this,
I've heard it's not as good as Roll Bounce.
I would think one of the most important releases of the 29th will be Frighteners Director's Cut, previously only available on Laserdisc.
Are you serious? They're finally releasing this?
Yeah,
awesome.
They're releasing the Director's Cut. The second most important release is a direct-to-video film called Havoc in its unrated form with a girl that has some of the greatest breasts ever, Anne Hathaway. And they are on full display.
Wait, Anne Hathaway?
Full display in this movie.
Now, let me ask you this. She bared her chest in a movie going straight to video? That's just not right.
Not only did she bare her chest, she bared her too. There's a full frontal scene.
I didn't think she would do that.
Yeah, so the other thing is one of my favorite...
What's a...
Access denied.
The what? Vanessa's not even tactful with hers.
Yeah. It's the...
There's nothing I can't do with a race car.
Huh? Yeah.
And... The other thing I'm really excited about on the 29th
is... just some things you don't talk about in public.
Mission Hill, the complete series. It was an animated series that was on the WBUPN.
Yeah.
It was a great show.
Mission Hill.
The complete series is coming out on DVD.
It was a cartoon.
I really recommend it.
It was funny. On Adult Swim as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay,
two
more on the 29th that we'll discuss next week again. Murder Ball, which is an amazing documentary about quad rugby.
Good.
So good. Great
about
film.
What?
Quad rugby.
Oh, okay.
It's guys in
wheelchair rugby.
It looks amazing. I can't wait to
all
see
right,
it.
All right, all right, all
right. Yeah, it really is an amazing documentary. It really feels like a real film. You get emotionally involved in it. It's terrific. And also, a heads up, last one, 29th, Sky High.
Oh!
Fun film.
Just in time for Christmas.
Now, okay, let me just take the second. I know we're going to talk about this the week it's coming out, but Sky High, like Serenity, is a movie that you people should have seen. And I'm not talking about you guys. Talking about the people out there, outside the zombie-infested town of
Mulberry.
Just Mulberry. Somebody put me out of my misery.
Now he's a
Jason.
Zombie.
And
Jason?
I'm dead.
You okay? he's back.
When I get depressed like this, music cheers me up.
I think we should end every show like this.
Yeah. No, seriously,
what is
guys.
It, Shine Feet Sweden.
You guys know
Shine Feet Sweden.
This is going to be a fucking disaster.
We are getting sued. You guys know that, right?
You know what?
The word's right.
Hey, MPAA, RIAA.
And you say I'm not blunt.
Now, Steven, in your abilities, do you think that something
not like... being used to my ability?
Okay. If you say so. Now, hey, guys, I'm going to go kill myself.
Hold on. We got to get back to Sky High.
Yes. Sky High is a great movie. Very enjoyable for the whole family. It's really cool. It's got a cool soundtrack of 80s tunes that have been redone by people you've never heard of, but it's really cool.
They're all indie bands.
Yeah. I mean,
they do some really good remakes, too.
It's the best movie Kelly Preston's made in years.
Yes, and she was free of thetans while filming the film.
Yes, that's right. God, how did I forget about her?
But yeah, I think most people wrote it off as like a kids movie because it was released by Disney. But it's got the kids in the hall in it.
Yeah.
It's got Heffernan.
Yeah, it's got Farva from Super Troopers.
Yeah.
It's got Kurt Russell.
Yeah, and it had some really hot girls in it, too, I gotta tell you.
Yeah, underage girls.
Yes. No, they're not underage.
He's like, yes, wait, no.
Hey, I'm a historian of ass. But it's a really fun movie. I think people should give it a chance.
Yeah.
Buy it.
We'll plug it more than
watch it over and over again.
Now, what's the date of that coming out again, Bill?
The 29th.
All right. I want it for Christmas. Week. So everyone buy me a copy.
Merry what about
Christmas.
That?
I've already got your Christmas gift, so.
It better be Sky High. I hope you have the receipt on the gift you already got me.
I think you'll regret it if I do that.
Now,
you'll regret it.
Somebody's going to kill me or something. But now, guys, I got to talk about something serious here for a second.
F you, spaceman.
Exactly. Now, our email address is nimpodcast@gmail.com. All you got to do is get on your computer and type it in, and you can send us a message about how this was the longest show in the history of podcasts.
Yes, and why not send us a message while listening to this disaster?
Yeah, you could listen to it go, oh, okay.
While you're typing it in, just give us a phone call.
Give us a whole critique as you're listening to the show, if you can get through the whole thing. you know, tell us about how much you love Michael McDonald like we do, how you shine sweet free, shine the light on you.
Shine free sweet.
What the hell is that guy talking about? That guy's on the pot.
He is. He was a Doobie Brother.
Sweet him.
No, not that pot. On this pot.
Thank you, Foggy.
Dude, reaching, man.
The shit can.
Hey, go to nowhereinmulberry.com. There you could stream or download our show. And
yeah, and you can also look at Jason's mug.
Yeah, go to the right side of the page. Just avert your eyes to the right and join our forum and talk to us about stuff. Because
and breathe heavy with Steven.
Yeah. Steven seems to cough and just yawn. He forgets that we're on the air.
Do you remember last week, Steven said, yeah, I haven't been on the forums. I'll try to get there this week. Well, I didn't see any posts from Steven this week.
Steven,
I've had a really bad week at work, so please.
excuses.
I'm going to just give me your password. I'm going to start posting for you. Guys, I love you all. Now I'm going to go soak my head in something.
It's not finished! It's finished!